present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parton.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, this week we have as our guests, as you just heard, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer against two of our regulars, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams, and they're all going to try and speak at different times, we hope, on the subjects that I will give them, and they will try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with one of our guests, Barry Cryer. Can you tell us something about the subject of getting ice cubes out of the tray? There are 60 seconds starting now.
Getting ice cubes out of the tray is a hazardous and wet procedure. My wife's house proudness, if expression such as that there be, leaves something to be desired. The last time I approached the refrigerator and opened the door, something inside closed it again. I gained entry to acquire some of the aforementioned items from the plastic tray, squeezed, and they flew across the room, striking my wife in the right eye.
Graham Gardner's challenged.
I'm sorry to do this, Barry. A repetition of my wife.
Yes, you did bring your wife in before. I mean, I know it's lovely to have Terry brought in as often as we can, but...
We Mormons are proud people.
So Graham Garden, our other guest, has got in first with a challenge. So Graham, a correct challenge, you take a point for that. And the subject, 30 seconds are left, getting ice cubes out of the tray, starting now.
Getting the ice cubes out of the tray is a problem if you happen to have a tray made of metal, because the frozen ice cubes in the tray tend to make the aforementioned receptacle extremely, and you don't get interrupted for bad pronunciation.
Barry Cryer has
hesitation in the middle of a word.
Hesitation. No,
he was an African dialect.
There, which is hesitation. Barry, you have the subject backed, and there are 13 seconds starting now.
Getting the ice cubes out of the tray, be it metal or of any other substance, can cause injury and malaise to the person attempting such a risky enterprise. One night...
Barry Cryer speaking as the whistle went, which Ian Messiter blows to tell us 60 seconds is up, gains an extra point, and he has the lead at the end of that round. In fact, he and Graham Garden are two guests, the only ones to have scored, and the only ones to have spoken, actually, in the first round. So let's now hear from Kenneth Williams, and the subject is creating a disturbance. Something I know that you've never done and would never dream of attempting. But would you try and tell us something on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
I've seen a lot of evidence of this, especially at meetings where illiterate fools who do not understand either the argument nor the tenor of the conversations that are trying to be held in these various, multifarious organizations, endeavor to interrupt and so ruin the meeting for everybody else. Now, I can only say that creating a disturbance in these conditions can only be called discourteous, rude, and ineffective insofar as any light or relief can be thrown upon indeed any subject. And all civilized people can only view it with disfavor, because to cause a disturbance in any civilized community...
Graham Garden has challenged.
Repetition of civilized.
Yes, you didn't...
Well, you can't have enough of it.
Civilized or otherwise.
We Mormons are proud people.
Well done, Barry. There are 8 seconds on creating a disturbance for Graham Garden, starting now.
There are those who say that creating a disturbance is, in fact, with a frog in my throat, a physical impossibility. The disturbance...
Graham Garden demonstrated that it was not a physical impossibility to create a disturbance with a frog in his throat. Kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point and is in the lead ahead of Barry Cryer at the end of that round. Clement Freud, nice to hear from you. It's your turn to begin. The subjects, undergraduates, will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now? And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
It was hesitation, actually.
It was. that we haven't heard from Clement Freud. We hope we will hear from him before the show is over. And Kenneth Williams has got the subject of undergraduates, 58 seconds, starting now.
In most places, they're looked upon as arrogant, and they charge around wearing the colours of the place to which they belong, and alienate the townsmen, as they refer to those who don't belong to their august...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hello. Also, repetition of belong.
That's right, yes. A round of applause for hello and a repetition of belong and 43 seconds to continue. Sorry, to take over the subject of undergraduates, starting now.
I think one of the best japes of which I've heard was when a man went to the police station and said there are some undergraduates digging up Piccadilly Circus and I think you should arrest them. He then approached those same people who were in the process of excavating the thoroughfare which I mentioned previously and said there are some undergraduates who are dressed as officers of the law and I think it is only fair for me to acquaint you of this information, and then stood by witnessing one of the great fights of all time. I think that's the sort of undergraduate behavior which we in this country have come to believe.
Keeping going on the subject of undergraduates until the whistle went, for which he gets an extra point, is now in second place alongside Barry Cryer at the end of that round. Graham Garden in the lead and Graham to begin the next round. Taking a Turkish bath.
As a matter of fact, I have never in my life taken a Turkish bath. And if I were to do so, I would put it back at once. The idea of uprooting the entire edifice, dragging it down the street by means of some mobile conveyance, be it motorized or self-propelled in whatever way, and then trying to fit the thing into my living room at home, makes my mind, if you will excuse the expression, boggle. And so that is the reason why Turkish baths have remained unmolested by me for many a year. I won't tell you how many 12-monthly periods I refer to, but it certainly is a goodly sum. However, I have in the past taken a different sort of bathing apparatus, namely a slipper of that ilk, home under my arm, and found it not at all difficult. Larger.
Graham Garden, demonstrating his excellent use of words in many different ways, kept going through 60 seconds, gets the point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. Congratulations, not many guests have done that, Graham. You're strongly in the lead at the end of the round. Barry Cryer's going to begin the next round.
You bath in the front room. Oh, sorry, sorry.
Yes. It's interesting to visit his home, wouldn't it?
Interesting.
Hygienic. Jumps from the slipper bath into the Turkish and then out to the conventional.
Indeed, yes.
I'm a bath collector.
I never bathe my slippers. They get soggy. They're so...
I never bathe my Turks either. The hypnotism...
Know your own business best, I'm sure.
The subject, Barry, for you is hypnotism. Will you tell us something about that without putting us to sleep in just a minute, starting now?
Silence is an integral, or indeed integral, minus or minus part of hypnotism. Mr. Mesmer, the pioneer, if not the originator of this technique, used a silence, thus...
And Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of the silence.
Well done, Clement. A clever challenge and well-deserved point. And 44 seconds for you to take over. Hypnotism starting now.
I did once actually go to a hypnotist who was a seedy gentleman in an upstairs room in Harley Street. And I called upon him because I have a smoke allergy and thought he might be able to help. The man put me under a spell very properly and decently and then reiterated over and yet again that I didn't really mind tobacco and went on like that. Actually, it helped. I was able for a few weeks after that meeting to sustain the smell of the odious weed, which I've always been very unkeen on. But I then succumbed, went back, and unfortunately...
Kept going successfully till the whistle went, gained another point, and is now in the lead alongside Graham Garden. Interesting to be hypnotized to get used to smoking. Most people go there to lose the habit. Kenneth, the subject is for you, and it is the art of writing. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
It has been pronounced upon most wondrously by a gentleman. I shall not tell you who I've got in mind, but provide you with a few clues on the way. When he says that it is plain speech which should be transmitted through the writing, so that it shall be immediately communicable to even the most unscholastic ear.
Graham Garden has challenged.
Yeah, I think I can guess it's Fowler.
Well, what? Actually, you're completely wrong. It's Plain Words by Sir Ernest Gowron.
That was my second guess.
Well, anyway, you've slowed the whole thing down now because I've got completely out of my flow.
Well,
I mean, I was just underway, wasn't I? You know, I was coming on to a very, very important thing.
Well, grab flow again and get back with it. Graham Garden gets a bonus point for a nice challenge, and you get a point for being interrupted, and there are 31 seconds on the art of writing starting now.
He instances the misusage of the plural by quoting from Shakespeare, "There is pansies," and says we must remember that the lady saying it wasn't herself at the time. Now, of course, we do know that it is the mad scene that he is referring to, where the poor girl, laden with blossoms and various herbal remedies, is accused by the boy of being...
Williams, in spite of an interruption, kept the subject throughout the round, gained 2 points in doing so, is in third place, just behind Clement Froy. Graham Garden is in the lead, and Clement, your turn to begin the subject, Chad. Will you tell us something about Chad in just a minute, starting now?
Chad is a character who was very much more in evidence at one time than he is now, who has a longish nose and two arms protruding over a wall, usually, with a message of the kind of what, no, thereafter follows a noun, verb, even adjective, at the discretion of the illustrator or author of the graffito in question. It's also a country in Africa, which I remember particularly well from covering Olympic Games, where Chad was represented usually by only one man, who, if I remember correctly, was not only an athlete, but also the Minister of Sport for that country. He carried the flag, was a noble gentleman of at least 6 foot, great stature, and I have been to most continents, including Asia, Europe, South America, but when I went...
took the subject. Barry Cry, you challenged just with the whistle went. What was your challenge out of interest?
It was too late, and I've discarded it. And in fact, I've forgotten what it was. Yes. I think on the grounds of taste, I will just abandon it.
Right. Well, Clement Freud achieved the difficult feat of keeping going without being interrupted, has 2 more points, and has now taken the lead ahead of Graham Garden. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject, Humpty Dumpty. Will you tell us something about him in the game starting now?
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the aforementioned monarch's men.
All. Clement, 50 seconds on Humpty Dumpty, starting now.
Couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again.
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Oh, it seems hesitation.
It was a hesitation. 45 seconds for you on Humpty Dumpty, starting now.
Well, there's a charming little nursery rhyme about this figure that sits on the wall, often being depicted as a sort of egg-like thing. And I had a friend who was known as Humpty because of this appearance. People used to say he's like a terrible old boiled egg, isn't he?
Graham Garden challenge.
A repetition of egg.
Yes, that's right. Graham, you have 30 seconds.
I said egg-like first time, which is actually not a repetition, you see, because, I mean, egg-like is, in actual fact, hyphenated.
I know, but you used the word egg, and Graham picked up the repetition of egg.
It's all different.
Oh, it's all different, is it? Yes, you notice that, Clement. Do you notice that? Just because they're guests, they're ganging up, you see. Just because we're the old faithful here, week in, week out. These are a couple of guests to be given special privileges. See? That's what they're after, isn't it? Giving them privileges.
Not privileges.
You're the most sycophantic chairman I've ever known. In one game, you couldn't even do it. Do you remember that week when he couldn't even find a card? I'll tell you. He's punch drunk. That's his trouble. That's about three jobs in one day, you know.
I'll tell you what, they were so impressed with how I couldn't find the cards that most of those people have come back.
Yes,
if I was going to lose them this week as well.
You inspire a strange loyalty, don't you?
Yes.
You're watching a family at war.
And that proves the point. If I was sycophantic, I'd be buttering up to them. But I'm not. I'm giving...
You don't know what he's doing.
Are there any other new rules that we ought to know about?
It is not a new rule. I'm just demonstrating my generosity. One of the men who's taken my name in vain more times on television than anyone else now has the subject of Humpty Dumpty back again, and there are 30 seconds starting now.
Humpty Dumpty began his life as a children's poem or riddle, and the people listening to this little verse were supposed to guess the nature of Humpty Dumpty by the clues within it. Hence, when we come to the phrase about Humpty Dumpty falling to pieces and not being able to be reassembled, then that is referring to the impossibility of reconstructing.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of referring.
Yes, I think you started off on something which you couldn't help repeating yourself, Graham.
I think I did.
He painted himself into a corner.
There are 1.5 seconds on Humpty Dumpty with you, Clement, starting now.
This was actually a...
Graham Garden challenge.
Minimal hesitation.
A very good challenge. It wasn't a minimal hesitation, yes. A very good challenge, yes. A minimal hesitation to Graham Garden. Humpty Dumpty, 0.5 seconds, starting now.
Humpty.
And Barry Cryer did try to get in on a minimal, but he failed. Right. So, Graham, you haven't increased your lead. You're now equal in the lead with Clement Freud at the end of the round, but Barry Cryer is beginning the next round. The subject is My Worst Public Mistake. Will you tell us something about it, Barry, in just a minute, starting now?
My worst public mistake is happening now. I am currently experiencing the miasma of lack of thought, obtuseness, denseness, call it what you will, as my organs seize up around my body in a steady sequence, deciding that they themselves will have none of this horrendous incident which is taking place before the eyes and ears of dozens of people. As I sweat, I lose breath, I palpitate, I shake as I perform this abysmal farrago before the tolerant public of this great metropolis.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Arrogance.
And what else in the game?
He did say I 19 times.
I know.
He is a guest. I expect there's some new rule whereby...
I suffer from eye strain, I'm sorry.
Well, he did say I far too many times. I tell you what, we've been generous to our other guests. I'll be generous to this guest, Barry Cryer.
Yes.
And that will even it up. We give Clement Freud a bonus point for a superb challenge, and he increases his lead. But Barry keeps the subject. My worst public mistake, Barry, could you arrogantly continue for 10 seconds starting now?
One is undergoing the most frightening experience of...
Kenneth Williams,
just... Because he keeps on about his frightening experience and how this is the worst thing that's happened to me in public. I don't believe a word of it. These people here are not frightening at all. They're very charming and...
They're cowering in their seats as you speak.
I quite agree with your challenge of repetition of experience, Kenneth.
Deviation.
Because he wasn't deviating. You stick to repetition, and you have the subject of, with 4.5 seconds to go, starting now.
My worst public appearance was at Boscombe when my costume came off.
Kenneth, you have a point for speaking as the whistle went. Would you like to continue your worst public experience?
No, it's just that the costume came off, but it was a child's play. It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't a professional performance, so therefore I don't count it professionally as a black mark against myself.
No, it wasn't very funny, was it?
It wasn't very funny, but then neither are you. You're still chairman week in, week out.
Fortunately, I'm not paid to be.
Aren't you? Oh, yeah. You could have fooled me, buster.
You're not paid to be chairman?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've heard he is paid to be
I'm not paid to be a funny chairman.
I've heard he done very well out of it, too. Pointing it in, I'm too. Having a new bathroom put in. Ceramic. All done avocados. Avocado, ceramic. Can you believe? That white laboratory's been good enough for me for years.
Yes.
Affectation of these people. They get up in the world and they start, you know, and I ask myself, how does he do what he does and what he gets? That's what I ask myself. Do I get any answer? No, I don't. You notice he's mute. He's gone quiet. Look, I'm quiet. Yeah, wipe the sheet. Look, he's gone white. Look. Yeah, it's a guilt.
No. When I hear a comic genius at play, I let him go.
Oh.
I let the audience enjoy it and have the full value of your wit, your humour, your erudition, your talent and your charm.
Oh, and by your tongue, I get blood poisoning.
Kenneth, at the end of that round, after your rudeness, which the audience enjoyed, we all enjoyed, actually, that's why we asked you back. If you couldn't be rude to Nicholas Parsons, I don't know who else can. Kenneth, you are in second place, trailing 2 points behind our joint leaders, Graham Garden and Clement Freud. Barry Cryer is a little way behind them all. And Clement begins the next round. The subject, my favourite sport, starting now.
I really wish I knew what my favourite sport was, because as you pursue sporting activities, you tend to favour one and then another. Cricket, in 1943, was definitely my favourite sport. I kept wicket, batted, and occasionally, with my pads on both legs, bowled, although at that time the guardian of the bails was another player, because you can't do one thing and the other at the same time unless you play the sort of sport which I have never attained to qualitatively. Football, I have much admiration for. Plymouth Argyle, above all teams, fills me with pleasure and delight.
Barry Cryer has...
Deviation from the truth, admiration of Plymouth Argyle.
Yes, I would have...
35.
That's wicked.
But sincere.
That's a rotten thing to say.
Yeah, actually, you could have had him...
There were 21,000 people at Hume Park the other night.
Were they playing at the time?
Actually, Barry, to be fair, within the game, he can talk about having admiration for Plymouth Argyle. I'm going to give you a bonus.
It's overwhelming.
A very good challenge. But what got me was a...
Well, we're not really interested in what gets you.
Kenneth is sliding in at all.
At the moment, the audience are convulsed at the order. Because Kenneth Williams has subsided under the table with some form of apoplexy due to the...
Apathy, mate, not apoplexy. I saw it off in boredom at the whole dreary recital of your sporting activities and this rubbish about parks and these terrible places where these games are played.
Well, you should have had him for deviation when he talked about bowling with his pads on. But nobody spotted it. So, Clement, you still have the subject of my favourite sport. 15 seconds, starting now.
Breathless hush in the close tonight tend to make in a match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding light. An hour to play in the last man.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Repetition, wasn't it?
What?
He said hour to play twice.
No.
Nor did Newbold.
Yes, you did. You said 10 to play. That's right.
Newbold didn't say it either. No, he was quoting there.
He didn't say to play twice?
No.
Oh, well, I'm mistaken. It sounded very much like a repetition to me.
So, Clement, you keep the subject, and there are 7 seconds left. My favourite sport is starting now.
Real tennis, as practiced at Hampton Court, Lord's Cricket Ground, Oxford, and the Rackets Club of New York.
That was a very loud applause for Clement Freud, because you're going to have to clap him again in a minute, because it's now reached the end of the show, so I'll give you the final score. Barry Cryer, returning again to triumph where he triumphed before, did finish in a different position. You were third last time, you were fourth this time. But Kenneth Williams finished in a very strong third position. I've seen him do that before. And Graham Garden, who hasn't been with us in this series before, did extremely well. Then he nearly won at one point, but just was beaten in the end by our winner once more in just a minute, Clement Freud. Enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again same time next week when once again we take to the air and we play this impossible game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.